5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
Man, oh man. I hope that you had a great week. I had a great, exciting week. And if you are a fan of the Facebook page of this show, you will know that I was actually at the Trump rally last Thursday. And let me tell you, it was an experience. A friend of mine asked me if I wanted to go, and I was actually free. And so we went down there. And you know what? I'm going to tell you about that later. But unfortunately, we have other pressing news that we had to do today. And by the way, welcome to the Justin James Show. I am Justin James, and we are so glad you have joined us or downloaded us or listened to us, and because we're just going to have some fun here. There's a lot going on in the country. There's a lot that we need to be able to unpack. The first thing I want to really hit on is if you have not paid attention in the news, there is actually a case that actually happened here in Dallas. And a friend of mine sent me to it through, I think, Life News is one of the sources that I like to see because sometimes they actually have some good stuff on there. But I'm actually going to read to you through the New York Post. This was a very interesting story, and it's a very sad story, and we need to talk about it because this is happening in my backyard. And not just that, it will affect other ways that we see things. So let me read this story to you by the New York Post. This is by Aaron Ferris, F-E-S-I-S. A Texas jury have ruled against a dad seeking custody of his twin 7-year-old son in the attempt to stop one of his boys from transcending his gender. The Dallas panel denied Jeffrey Young's pretension for sole custody of his sons Jude and James, which came as the boy's mom is pushing for James to begin hormone replacement therapy. This is a 7-year-old boy. The mom, a pediatrician, contends that James is transgender and likes to wear dresses and performs and to be identified or prefers to be identified as Luna. So, first of all, this is sickening. Because there's so much stuff going on in this case. There's a 7-year-old boy who doesn't even understand what is going on in the world. And yet this mom, who is a doctor, a pediatrician apparently, is saying, no, this is what we need to do. And because of this, we're going to give medication to this 7-year-old to help the 7-year-old become transgender or to be a female mainly. This is chilling. And especially that's happening here in Dallas. And later in the story, it actually talks about that James or the husband, Jeffrey, or the ex-husband at this time, wanted to have a jury trial on this. And apparently the jury sided with the mom. And so this is sickening, by the way. This is, to me, I put this in the same level as child abuse. And it needs to be looked at, child abuse, because, again, you are literally, you're damaging this individual because you're saying that this is what this individual needs to do at 7 years old. Unfortunately, this sex war going on needs to, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely getting ridiculous to the point where we have to, you're usually, here's the thing, scientists across the world, if you had a chance to check out Jordan Peterson, Jordan Peterson literally makes, now I don't know where he stands politically. I don't know where he stands on some of these issues. He does the numbers and he literally says that the numbers of what we're doing is bad for society, period. He says that you're, according to scientists, you're usually male or you're female. That's it. You're not in between. You can't switch your sex. You can't be whatever you want. You are what you want. And so having this right here and having this, jury literally be on the side of the mother who is hurting this child. Now, if this particular person, James, I think this is the child, if he decides to be 18 years old and he wants to go through all these different stuff, that's completely up to him. Now, of course, on a Christian worldview, that is wrong because we already believe that the Bible and God created us the way we are. Now, because of our gene of sin, it's going to affect us. But to have this is, I don't know how to explain what is going on, except this is wicked behavior. Because this father is trying to protect this child. This is child abuse. This is a psychologically and physical child abuse because you're giving this child medicine at a seven-year-old age that doesn't need to be taking this medication. This is medication that, first of all, doesn't a seven-year-old shouldn't even be doing. I mean, a seven-year-old supposed to be going out, playing, climbing trees, you know, doing things like that, not supposed to be worrying about where my identity is. And of course, the culture has been pushing and pushing and pushing for this to happen, to say we need to teach our kids to be able to be whatever they want to be, instead of accepting who they are and what they are and who they are in creation of God. So, I mean, I wonder why we are getting... I was talking to a friend of mine just today, and we were questioning, why isn't God come down and literally remove the United States completely because of their wickedness? This right here is crazy. And I hope that he appeals, and I hope that the state of Texas, yes, I'm talking to him in the state of Texas, comes in and does something about this. Because this is the child. The child doesn't know better. The child's going to do exactly what the parent tells him to do. When I had my son at seven, he would literally, I would tell him things and he will be like a sponge. And still today he does that. And he will soak it up like a sponge. And he believes the words that are coming out of my, you know, my mouth and his mother's. And you know, he will leave the people that he trusts the most. And he will say, and he will hold on to that in his heart. So these ethics or this moral thing that's happening here within this family, of course, they're divorced, obviously. I wonder why. But this shows that we are pushing and pushing and pushing for this acceptance. Listen, if you want to live this lifestyle, you're welcome to live that lifestyle. But you can't push anybody to accept it. And that's exactly what's going on. And that's exactly why we had Beto O'Rourke or Congressman Robert O'Rourke say, I'm going to make any institution or any religious institution, if they don't hold on or if they don't affirm to homosexuality, they are going to lose their tax exempt. Well, guess what? What you're doing is you're playing the field and you're saying, I'm going to remove any types of tax exempt status, which nonprofit organizations do have because they do a service for the community. Period. That's why we have schools or private schools, where we have churches, synagogue, and we have mosque. So I'm curious, how far is he going to allow that to happen when you get the Muslims going to raise up because they are very critical about homosexuals? You're not going to find Muslims going to tolerate this. They're going to start throwing out Sharia law. They're going to start doing things, and they're going to literally stand on their principle at the time of the Quran, and they are going to push it, and they're going to say what you're doing is absolutely wrong, and it's against their belief. Well, guess what? What you're doing to this and how you're treating this country is showing that we don't need God, which obviously, and on top of that, there's no moral code or moral compass that we have. So what is happening here is sickening, and it needs to be addressed. So I don't know what we need to do. I don't know if you need to call. Yeah, actually, no. Call, if you're in the state of Texas and you're listening to this, call your state representative. Protect this child. This is a child of God and doesn't need to be. This is abuse. CPS needs to come in and remove this kid, period. But what about? No. Listen, you don't need to be forcing any kid to take any type of hormone therapy or medication that's going to change or affect your biological system because you don't agree with what you really are when you were born. Now, if you want to do that when you're 18, that is completely up to you. But at a certain age, at 7, that to me is child abuse. I have seen, and I've been a part of this because I worked at a children's home. I have seen worse things, and I've seen how parents abuse their children to the point where CPS had to remove them. This is no exception. And so, yeah, call your state congressman and do that. We're gonna take a quick break, and I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna tell you about this Trump rally and tell you some other things that are been kind of going on in the news. So please don't go away. That's right, don't go away.
You're listening to the Justin James Show. If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional, and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. Omadden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air.
Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have, and he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater, are you ready for game day?
You're listening to the Justin James Show.
Well, welcome back, and let me tell you, Madden, my friend Sean Madden, who is the owner of O'Madden Aerial Photography, he took some interesting pictures of the tornadoes that came through the other night here in Dallas, and it's really, first of all, it was a miracle that no fatalities, nobody died from those storms, and there was estimated cost. They said that it was the highest tornado cost, the most expensive tornado or national tornado disaster in Texas, close to $2 billion worth of damage. And I drove down the area. I've been there. I've seen there. I've been to that Home Depot many times there off of Forest and 75. And let me tell you, it's really interesting. And just the fact that no one got hurt is truly a miracle, and truly it's a blessing. And I hope everybody was safe. I hope that you're good. I hope that by the time you hear this, or that your electricity is back on. I know a lot of people still don't have electricity in certain areas in the Dallas area. So, but let me tell you a little bit about the Trump rally. I really wanted to spend this time and expand this. And I know I wanted to talk about this case, because it is a big issue. And this is why we wonder why we see the outturn and we see the crowds that are coming for Donald Trump. And I've been challenged a lot. They said, well, why do you believe in this guy? Or why do you support Donald Trump? He's not, it's because he's not a no holds bar type of guy. And our country is in a really bad situation, or was. And because of all the stuff that's happening, and we wanted, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's really strong in the political arena, and I kind of talked to him, and this is long before even Trump showed up on the scene. I said, the only way that the Republican Party is going to win, if they get a bulldog, you know, a fighter, somebody that's not scared to get in the ring and fight. Because most of the Republican candidates were very, but they didn't want to fight. They would rather sit around the tables and drink their tea with their pinky up. I don't know. But the point is that they never wanted to get into a fight. They would avoid a fight as much as possible. But the Democrats, they will get into a cat fight. They will pull hair. They will poke your eye. They will do every, you know, low blow. They will do anything in their possible way to win. And so because of that, and because of the things that have been happening in this country, that's why, I talked to you this last time. Donald Trump wasn't my first candidate. I'm still a huge Ted Cruz supporter, only because I think that he is, first of all, I mean, he's a constitutional scholar. He's one of the guys who understands the Constitution. He is a born again Christian. His dad is a pastor. He understands, he understands what it means to walk in Christ in this country. So, of course, I'm going to be more attracted to somebody like Ted Cruz than Trump. Trump doesn't have he does have what you call probably a hairy past. He's not necessarily your guy, your perfect model. We're not going to make Trump into a pastor. We talked about that before in the last podcast. You got to go back and you have to listen to my last podcast. We talked about this. But one of the big things that I get, how can you support this man? This guy, you know, he's not qualified to be a pastor. Well, again, I'll give you the lowdown on this. When Obama supported homosexual marriage, a lot of the black churches, African-American churches, they had to deal with this. And what they did was, and they literally said, well, guess what? The president is not the pastor. And so what they had to do was they had to separate the Christian aspect of leadership from what the church will hold to. But in the same way of supporting Obama, not necessarily, that's why they had to do that. And so they ripped those two apart. Well, guess what? We can do the same thing. But if you look about the economy and all the things that are going on, yeah, that's absolutely right. So a friend of mine invited me, so let's go to the Trump rally. And I was like, let's do it. So we went down there, and traffic was fun. But when we got there, luckily we found a really good parking spot and we were able to walk around. So we got there, we walked around where the American Airlines Center is, and the line was long. I mean, it was about five blocks long. I was talking to a good friend of mine. In fact, I wanted to bring her on the program. She was actually, when we got there, she was actually in the front of the line. She's been there since, you know, Thursday morning. And I was texting back with her and we were conversating. And so, but she said, yeah, it's about five blocks long. And so, let me, this is crazy. The line to the porter potty was longer than what the projections were, what was, cause Beto O'Rourke, the guy who said he wants to remove our guns and literally take away taxes from any place that doesn't want to conform to homosexuality. He did a rally across the Metroplex in Grand Prairie. And the joke was the line was longer to the porter potty than there was there at Beto O'Rourke rally. There was more people in the line waiting to use the bathroom there at the Trump rally than there was at Beto's event. And it was true. The pictures were there and we were there and we were showing that. But so we get there. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, if you go to Dallas Observer has a really good article on this, but I want to kind of give you the lowdown on this because there's some interesting things I really want to share with this. And I don't think this really hits the area. A lot of the local businesses were closed. In fact, my friend wanted me to take me to a pizza place really close by there because my he's like my brother. This I've known him for almost about 30 years. So he's like my brother, and he loves pizza, and he loves anything Italian. And so there was a pizza place he wanted to take me. We went over there. It was closed. A lot of the businesses were closed. And then we even went to the 7-Eleven. There's a 7-Eleven right around the corner because we were trying to find a facility. And they had signs saying that the restrooms were out of order. So we went to the CVS. They had signs saying the restrooms were out of order. There was a pushback on some businesses that were going on here. And to me, there was two sides on this we can look at. One, we can say, hey, okay, we don't want any trouble, and so we're just going to close our business. Or you can be like what Jimmy John's here. In fact, that was one of the things here in the article by the Dallas Observer. It says by 4 p.m., Jimmy John's on Vickery Park Lane had run out of bread. And so, I mean, they literally did a fantastic job. They killed it because they seized the moment. However, a lot of the businesses did not do well because they closed, because they didn't want to open up. They didn't want to be a part of that. They didn't want to, I mean, you had 60,000 people down there. Actually, the reports were more than that. They were saying close to 100,000 people. And a lot of these businesses are like, we're just going to close because we don't want any trouble. You deserve a golden star there because you're really smart. But here's something that a lot of people didn't want to, I mean, this is from my own observation here. And so we got there, we finally found a restaurant was open, and we sit there, and the restaurant was actually by the street. And we're sitting there and, you know, we're talking, there's a whole bunch of Trump supporters in the restaurant, and we're having a great conversation just with everyone. And we noticed how police officers were shutting down the sidewalk. And I asked my friend, who's very familiar with this area, very familiar with the American Airlines Center, just because of what he does and what he used to do, and he knows these places very well. That's all I'm going to go in detail on. He told me, he was saying, you know, the entrance, the underground tunnel to theirs is actually down the street right here by where we're at. And I said, oh. He goes, yeah, it won't surprise me. No wonder that everybody's shutting down the hallway, because the presidential caravan is going to come right down here and probably go down the street. They're this way, or they're going to go down a different way. But here's that street. He was showing me it, they're going to have to go down this street if they're going to go to the underground tunnel, which he had to. I mean, just because of security reasons. And so after we eat, we went out there and we noticed everybody starting to line up and everything. I was like, oh, this is the way. And of course, we talked to this one police officer. He would not tell us anything. But he did tell me a couple of things. He said, Antifa, which is a ultra left, very violent group. We see pictures and videos of them doing very dangerous stuff in Portland, Oregon, is here. He did say they are here. And I said, oh, he goes, I don't think they're going to mess with 60,000 Trump supporters. And I was like, you're probably right. But anyway, so we're there and we saw the presidential motorcade. In fact, I put that on the Facebook thing, which was really neat. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I've never seen it. And to be there and to be able to see that was really neat. To see that drive by, and they were not playing games. Security was so tight. They weren't playing games. But one of the things that I noticed there was a lady who had this sign up, and the sign says, I'm gay. Do you hate me? And she would walk across or by the front of the lines or by the side of the lines, because there's a walkway there where the street is at, trying to taunt this crowd. And the crowd would not give in to her. In fact, the crowd would say, no, we love you. And it got to the point where she literally took the sign down and she threw it, because she realized she wasn't getting the response that she really wanted. She was actually getting a very unique response. She was getting a loving response. People were loving on her through their words and words of encouragement. They weren't being mean to her. Anyway, they were just being very kind and very gracious to this woman. I thought that was absolutely, I was blown away by that. Because one of the things that we hear or we see is how Trump supporters are these people from the backwoods of wherever with no teeth, no education, no nothing. Well, that's not true, because I was talking with some people in line or in the area that we were at, and they were doctors, they were accountants, some of them were pastors. Of course, I have several pastor friends that were inside. We didn't get inside, but we were outside there at Victory Square. So we were talking to these people, and I love interacting with people. So this was completely opposite of what they're trying to portray or project of what a Trump supporter is. The absolute opposite. We were supporting each other. We were helping each other. We were just loving on each other. We were joking around with each other. And of course there was some protesting out there, but it wasn't, again, they weren't getting the response they would do. So they would just leave, or they would just like, man, okay. Wasn't expecting that. No, you weren't. And so those are just some of the things that I wanted just to observe necessarily when we look at this Trump rally necessarily, because it was very energetic, because a lot of people coming together, sharing the same ideas, sharing the same passion. And that's why the next couple of days, especially earlier this week, today is the 23rd, earlier this week, a lot of the articles are saying that Trump's not going, he's going to win this thing. Because you had 60,000 people just boom, right there in Dallas. And you had a couple of weeks later, you had there in Minnesota. You had a huge crowd in Minnesota. Minnesota. I just like the way it just rolls off, right? But the point is, when you see these crowds and you see this people that are supporting this man and they're supportive of what they're doing. Now, one of the big things that we did see out there, there was some people there protesting about the Syria thing. And now I want to just shift gears here a little bit on this. In Syria, This is how I was explaining it too. So I'm going to do the best I can with this. But in Syria, in dealing with the Turks, there's different groups of Turks. One of them is, I think it's called PKK or something like that. This group is a terrorist organization. They're not necessarily the Christian groups or the Christian terrorists. And I know Christians have been just, I can't believe Trump pulled up. Okay, listen. It was about 50 to 100 troops that he moved. That's it. Out of Syria. And let me tell you, if Turkey is the second largest, is one of the second largest armies in the European Union over there, or the, you know, in NATO, especially in that region, 100 troops ain't going to stop Turkey, okay? Just forget about it. So for what Trump did in him moving the troops, he didn't do that so he can literally say, here, open up, here's Syria for you. No, he did that because he's like, we don't need our troops there. There's no need to do that. And I'm not trying to support Trump's decision, and I'm not an apologetic for Trump on this, but I want us to look at this, and I want us to examine why he did what he did. Now, because first of all, as a Christian, we see a lot of different things that are going on. We see all of this and we think how it's unchristian-like and all this. But here's the crazy thing. I remember, and I truly do, hold on one sec. Okay, sorry. I remember very clearly a lot of the pastors, and ministers and Christians would be calling for this war, this war to be over with. So you can't have your cake and eat it too, okay? I don't understand that. I never really understood that phrase. But the point is, you can't be wishy-washy on this. He did exactly what he wanted to do. He removed the troops. He had every right to do that. That's his troops. He's the commander in chief. And again, the Turkish army, if he was going to come in. But here's the thing. The PKK, I think that's how you say it, were going into Turkey and terrorizing Turkish citizens. Let me repeat that again, okay? According to the source that I was hearing, or the information that I was received on, these PKK Turks, this terroristic Turks, would be going into Turkey and terrorizing their citizens. Of course, Turkey, by a sovereign nation, just like the United States, just like all these other nations, like with Germany or United Kingdom or Britain or France or any of these sovereign countries, they have every right to protect their citizens to the ability that we have our rights to protect our citizens. So when they went in there, they weren't going in there necessarily to take land. Oh, no, no, no. They were in there to try to get rid of the PKK. That was it, period. They were tired of being terrorized by this group. Now, we did pay this group to help us defeat ISIS, but we had to pay them. And after we paid them, they did their job exactly because they honored their word. And then they went back to doing what they were doing because of whatever was going on between these two groups, between the Turkish, between the Turkey and the Turks, or the PKK. The Christian groups of Turkeys were more in southern Syria, not more northern. So when we see, how all of this has been going on, no, this was a country, and I'm not trying to be apologetic on this or defending. This was a country doing what the country of Turkey thought was best to be able to protect their citizens, period. So we have to look at that and say, okay, how does that work? No, it works completely fine, and it's actually biblically ethically, because we see King David doing the same thing back in the nation of Israel. We see Israel doing that today. We see every country having their right as a sovereign nation to protect their citizens. This is a biblical principle. And if we try to twist it or whatever we do, we can't. Now, but on a Christian worldview and how we deal with this, this is how I look at it, the interesting concept. God appoints government. Of course, God doesn't want wars. I mean, he doesn't call for wars unless we need to. And he uses government to punish other governments. There's no doubt on that. That's always been. So this is just, I want you to just kind of understand what's going on. And so here at the protest, or there was a protest group of these apparently Turkish or Syrians. And then one of them, this little girl who's about 7 years old, again, 7 years old, they try to use these children that have no clue of what's really going on in the real world. And it breaks my heart even beyond. Had this sign saying, "The blood of our people are on your hands." No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, you can email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com and you could disagree with me all you want. Hey, if you want, I'll bring you on the podcast. We'll talk about it. But no, it's not. And to teach a child that is beyond anything. If you don't want a country to terrorize you necessarily, then don't go in that country and terrorize another country. Well, what a concept. So this is just some of the things that we need to kind of exactly, you know, look at. Now, of course, the final thing, again, because today is the 23rd, and I have to say this, and this is what's been kind of going on with all of this during the impeachment hearings and all of this craziness going on, we finally did see the Republicans have a backbone. They went into the committee, this closed committee, and to literally do a sit-in on this, because apparently nobody's allowed to do that. As your podcast host, I actually did something really interesting today, and I didn't record it. I wish I did. I could have, but I didn't. I called Congressman Kevin McCarthy's office. Congressman Kevin McCarthy is the minority leader. I mean, he is the pretty much he's all the guy. You know, he's in charge of all the minority of all the Republicans in the House. Okay. So I called his office up and I talked to one of his staff members, and this is what he told me about what's going on with this. I asked him a very interesting question, because one of the questions I got hit with one time was, well, there's Republicans on the committee. Well, according to the staff member, and how they are literally treating the Republicans during these committee hearings are literally, first of all, it breaks every rule in the House rules. He said that it's absolutely sickening. This is what the staff member told me on the phone. They said that every Republican on the committee has a gag order. They're not allowed to talk about anything. I said, well, what about the Democrats? No, the Democrats does not have the gag order. If you have an R next to your name and you're part of those committees, you have a gag order. If you have a D next to your name, you're free to do whatever you want to do. The other thing is, as you have an R next to your name, you're not allowed to have any of the written material in front of you. You are not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to answer. You're allowed to answer or ask questions. However, you're not allowed to have a transcript of anything that's going on. You're not allowed to have anything that can help you be able to have an intelligent question for these people. They are literally suppressing the majority vote on our voice on this. This is sickening. However, on the Democrat side, they're allowed to have what? They're allowed to have the transcripts. They don't have a gag order. That's why they come out every 5 seconds and tell you what's going on in their own twisted way. And on top of that, they're allowed to have all the things that they need to have in front of them so they can be able to answer the questions ask a question effectively, according to whatever they want to be able to receive. So technically, all the Republicans members are there. They're there and they're wasting time. They're wasting all of this. That's why the 50 Republicans, I think it was about 50, decided this is crazy. They went in, they tried to censor Adam Schiff and all of this a couple of days ago. And of course, it failed because Republicans tabled it. But this is why they went in there and they sat down and they said, no, we're not going to have this anymore. This is a completely abuse of power of what's going on. And this is sickening. And this it really is. We shouldn't be doing this. If we want to have an impeachment hearing, have an impeachment hearing. But do it right. Call it up in the House, vote. Let both parties be able to call their people. But see, they don't want that. So I just wanted to throw that out there because there's been a lot going on this week. And on top of that, I have papers due. So the point is that as a Christian, we are really need to be praying for this nation. There's a lot going on all the way from Dallas, Texas, all the way from tornadoes to this poor 7-year-old, all the way to everything that's happening, even in Washington. So there's a lot going on in this country. There's a lot going on. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need to wake up. The churches need to wake up. the pastors and the ministers of these churches need to really wake up, and they really need to understand and start saying, listen, if you want to have the freedom of religion that we have, which is something that as a Baptist we press upon. I've gotten questions about the Beth Moore thing. Hold on one sec. But the point is, I'll address that real fast before we leave. But the point is that needs to, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to start teaching what it means to be a Christian and have kingdom focus. But yet again, how we can use and why it's important to have the United States of America as part of all of this. Oh, well, no, you're being, no. It's important. Governments are important. And I think that's why I'm really attracted to this idea of more Christians in government. The Constitution was written in a way that it was inspired behind biblical principle. Look at it, read it. There it is. Get the separation of church and state was never in the Constitution. I guarantee it's not in there. You can fight me, please. You're welcome to come on the program. We'll hash it out. It's not in the Constitution. But now I want to address this because I've been getting a lot of questions now lately about this. If you haven't heard, John MacArthur was celebrating his 50th year as the pastor of his church in California. And there was one of the guys that asked this panel about do a one word association of these different people. And of course he said, what about, you know, Beth Moore? And John MacArthur paused for a second and he said, go home. I wish I had the audio prepared for you. I would play the whole audio, but I want to hit this real fast because our time is getting short. And then the panel started kind of talking a little bit more about what's kind of going on here. In fact, I'm probably going to do probably in our next podcast, we're going to dive more into this because this is something that we need to be talking about. There's a lot of contents that came out of this. And I talked with some friends of mine that are part of the SBC, that are high arc, they're leaders within the SBC, and they're very saddened about the comment. Of course, we have J.D. Greer, who said, hey, you're always home within the SBC, to Beth Moore and his Twitter. But so was it right for John MacArthur to take a pond to Beth Moore? Well, I always look at it like this. We never want to spike the ball. Yes, there's times when we can, but there's times when we cannot. I feel that what John MacArthur was doing was he was trying to be funny, but at the same time he was also trying to make a statement. And so that's just something I want you to kind of think about. Would I have done that? No, of course not. But this is John MacArthur. And I mean, he talks about women in ministry. And of course I've talked about this on the podcast. In fact, I probably in our next one, we'll dive more into that. In fact, I'll probably do that. Our next podcast, next time we get together, we'll dive more into this. I might have a special guest. I don't know. We'll see if we can get him on. But there's some good things happening with the show. So, but the point is this, I think we need to definitely pray, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to understand, we need to stand on biblical principles. Absolutely. And that, I think that's something that the panel was trying to really push on. Again, next week I'll dive more into that. I promise. If you have a question more about it or something that you want to ask about, please email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. I'll email you back and we'll talk about it. So anyway, but that was my event, at the Trump rally. And I hope that, you know, I'll put I think I did post the video online. So, on my Facebook account. So if you want to see the caravan or the presidential, caravan drive by, it's kind of something really neat. You can definitely do that. So in the meanwhile, have a great week and God bless you. And just keep loving the Lord and loving the people around you. And we'll talk with you next week.
Justin James.
All right, I'm done.